Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please stand and face the cross. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. What
a wonderful day this is that the Lord has given us to gather together and to worship Him, to remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and what that means for us, how it gives us hope. Death is swallowed up in victory today, and God has given us a gorgeous day to celebrate Easter. Welcome to all of you who are watching this at home, wherever you might happen to be. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and this is Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. The order of service for our Easter worship this morning is based on Divine Service Setting 3. It's all printed there for you in your bulletin. We begin with the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with the words of the intro. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and my song. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Please remain standing for the hymn of praise. He's risen, he's risen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for Easter Sunday comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, beginning with verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We sing, "He is arisen, glorious word." O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The epistle reading today is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia. The Easter Gospel, according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we use the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, and for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon hymn is, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." Grace, mercy, peace, and Easter joy be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our Easter sermon today is from the Old Testament reading that we heard from Isaiah chapter 25. In this passage, God is talking about preparing a meal, a feast for all of us on his holy mountain. And for far too long, it has seemed like death is the one that has been getting to feast upon the world. But we give thanks to God on Easter that death itself is the one that gets swallowed up in victory. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen! He is risen indeed. Alleluia. What a satisfying sound that is. I'm sure you're tired of me saying this, but what a difference a year makes. Last year on Easter Sunday, and actually throughout the entire Easter season, I didn't have anybody here in the church to say that to. All of you were watching me online, you were watching at home, so every time I said, Christ is risen, nobody responded. I had to be the one to do the responses myself. But not today. Christ is risen! He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I don't think I'm ever going to get tired of hearing that one. You know what else is pretty satisfying today? Not only the fact that we get to be here in church on Easter, what a novel concept, but also the fact that there are other Easter traditions that we can see starting to make their way back into our lives, right? So things that got canceled last year that we really appreciate having. So yesterday, for example, the Lions Club had their Easter egg hunt in the park. That was awesome to be able to have that again. Or just now, before the worship service, we didn't have our full Easter breakfast available in the gym, but hey, you know, socially distant coffee and donuts, that's not too bad, right? At least it's something. I know a lot of you, after church today, you have family gatherings that you weren't able to have last year, but you're going to get together with folks this year. And so I guess the point being that it really seems like the world is starting to shake off the dust a little bit, you know? It's like the whole world is going through its own little resurrection right now. And that's really a wonderful thing. It's kind of like what Isaiah is saying in verse 7 of the text here. He says, he will swallow up the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. It's kind of felt like we've had this thing, this covering, this veil over us for a long time now. And now that veil is starting to be uncovered, and it's like we get to breathe in that sweet spring air once again. And we certainly pray that things will keep heading in that direction. So from our standpoint, Easter, not just this year, but maybe especially this year, Easter is a day of hope, it's a day of joy, it's a day where we get a fresh, new perspective, optimism when we think about life. And we're not just talking about the return of all these earthly things that we've been missing recently, but certainly on a much bigger scale, Easter is about eternal hope. Especially when we remember that the actual veil and covering that has been over all peoples is a lot more than just the coronavirus, right? But that covering that's been over the world, that's sin. That's death. And Easter is this amazing reminder that Jesus has won the victory over all of it. Our Lord's resurrection means that death will never have the final say, not then, not now, not ever. So again, how satisfying is that? We can relax in the beauty of that truth. We have peace, we have security. We know that our souls are always in the Lord's hands. It's wonderful. It's satisfying. But here's a question for you, and it's an important one. How long does that satisfaction last? I mean, are the feelings of joy and satisfaction that we have right now, is it enough to carry us all the way till next year, Easter? Is it enough to last a whole year? Is it enough to last the 7 weeks of the Easter season? Are we going to stay satisfied for maybe a month, maybe a week, maybe a day? How long is it before we forget about all of the alleluias that are ringing in our ears today. When does the satisfaction turn into dissatisfaction, discontent, disappointment all over again? I mean, I'm sorry to speak this way on Easter, but we're just talking in reality, right? We're just being honest. That, you know, Easter, as awesome as it is, on this side of heaven, we are always celebrating in the midst of a broken world, a broken creation, and sometimes that Easter joy can be hidden by some of that brokenness. Here in Isaiah chapter 25, he's talking about this amazing meal that Yahweh is preparing for us on the mountain. It says, quote, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. Think about the best meal you ever had. Probably more than just the Schnucks donuts and coffee you just had, right? The best meal ever. At your favorite restaurant or a fancy restaurant or some really, really important event, and you got to eat whatever you wanted and you got to eat as much of it as you wanted. Afterwards, you're full, you're happy, you might loosen your belt a little bit, you might slip into a food coma, you might just take a little nap on the chair, right? You are content, you're satisfied. But then what? It doesn't take very long, no matter how good the food is, no matter how much you get to eat of it, it doesn't take long for us to get hungry again. It doesn't take long for our stomachs to start growling over again. That's true for all of us, but man, is that especially true for kids? Moms and dads, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I have been amazed lately at how much food our 18-month-old son Max can put away. It is crazy. Some of you guys, if you've had an opportunity to see him eat, I mean, it's like he's got a hollow leg or something. It's just, he just loves to eat. Katie posted a picture of a video on Facebook the other day. Max was eating a sandwich out of my hands. He just like goes for it with his entire face. He's just chomping on that sandwich. It's amazing. So when we're all together at lunchtime, he'll sit there at his spot at the table, and he'll eat a full meal, you know. He'll have, like, his hot dog or, you know, fruit, yogurt, whatever we got. He'll eat the whole thing, but then he gets down, and he starts what we call second lunch, which is actually Max going around and taking whatever he wants off of other people's plates. Usually Zoe's and Zach's lunch become his lunch. He's really sneaky about it, you know. But that's second lunch, and then that's not it. There's a third lunch. Third lunch is when I finally sit down with my food. And then he comes up. It's like he's got food radar. He comes right up to me. He wants to sit on my lap. He eats half of what's on my plate, too. I'm starting to get worried about what our grocery bill is going to look like when these kids are in high school. It's crazy how much he loves to eat. He's hardly ever satisfied, right? And so all kidding aside, I mean, it's hard enough to satisfy the appetite of a growing toddler. But what's even harder, in fact, what's actually impossible for us to do, is to satisfy the appetite of our oldest enemy, which of course is death itself. Remember how all this got started? The feelings of discontentment in the world, this veil, this covering that spread over all the nations. Remember how it originally came out of the Garden of Eden. And it's actually interesting that the reason why death first entered into God's perfect creation is because our first parents, Adam and Eve, were not satisfied with the food that God had given them to eat. Not satisfied with the fruits of the garden, not satisfied with eating of the tree of life. They wanted more. They were convinced that they wanted more. And so they ended up desiring the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which certainly they received the knowledge of good and evil. And all of humanity for the last several thousand years have been all too familiar with the knowledge of good and evil. Unfortunately, if we're being honest, it seems like evil is the thing that gets most of our attention on most days. We live in a world where death is lurking around every corner. where death is hungrier than a toddler, where death eats way more than three lunches, where death has been feasting upon people, upon animals, upon all living creatures. It seems like no matter how many lives are lost, death never seems to be fully satisfied. But you know who's not satisfied with that? The Lord of heaven and earth. He has never been satisfied to let death just swallow up everything and everybody without providing some relief for the pain and suffering that it causes. And that, my friends, is what Easter is all about. Christ is risen! He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So like what Isaiah says, he's preparing this feast on his holy mountain. But first and foremost, he prepared a feast on the mountain called Calvary, on the cross of Good Friday, where death was given the opportunity to swallow up even the very Son of God. Much greater than the sacrifice that I might make or any parent might make in giving half of their lunch to an insatiable child. Much greater than a sacrifice like that is the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus gave for us, giving up his life, dying on the cross to take away our sins and the sins of the world. In the entire history of life and death in the world, this is the one and only death that was able to actually break the cycle. This is the death that actually could kill death's hunger and appetite once and for all. And you know how we know that that's true? Because the tomb was empty. So we just heard that in the gospel reading from Mark chapter 16, when the women arrived early in the morning, they see an angel. What does the angel say? He says, "Christ is risen! He is risen indeed! Hallelujah!" I'm just going to keep making you say it to make up for last year. But really, you know, in every other account we have in Scripture, where someone is raised from the dead, whether we're talking about Lazarus, or we're talking about Jairus' daughter, or the widow's son, right? When we think about all of these people, death still had an opportunity to feast upon those folks later on. All of those people who were raised from the dead and snatched out of death's jaws ended up passing away again later on, eventually. But Jesus is different. Jesus is different from all the others. Jesus Christ rose on Easter, and he is still alive. He was alive on that day, and he is alive even now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we belong to him. So that means that death's appetite doesn't threaten us either. We are Easter people. We are people of the resurrection. And we live all the time with one foot in this veil of tears. But even though we might be in this world, we are not of this world. We belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to the one who rose from the dead. We are attached to him. We've been brought to faith. We've been washed and cleansed with the waters of holy baptism. We've been strengthened with his body and blood. So even though we may still have to deal with the effects of physical death here and now, we as Christians, as people who belong to Christ, we have a completely different outlook on all of it. We can look at every day through that lens, that optimistic, fresh outlook of Easter. Because our souls are being eternally satisfied by him. It's like Isaiah says, he's preparing this banquet for us. He's preparing a place for us at his feast on his holy mountain. And on the day when we finally get to experience that blessing for ourselves, it says the Lord will wipe away all tears from all faces. Death can't swallow us up with its hunger and appetite anymore. Instead, death is the one who gets swallowed up by Jesus and by his life. So all that's left for us to do is to swallow up the foretaste of that feast, to come here to his altar and to receive his gifts and to be eternally satisfied with his mercy, with his grace, with his love. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Happy Easter. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have a few updates for you in the prayer of the church today. Today, under ongoing health needs, we are including Greg Natier. He has recently been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he'll be undergoing treatments soon. We're also continuing to pray for baby Layla Mae Bailey. That's the newborn daughter of Alyssa Schnicker and Ray Bailey. She's going to be in the NICU for a while yet, and so we're going to continue to pray for her to get bigger and stronger. And we are thanking and praising God today for the birth of Jace Henry Michael. That's the newborn son of Clinton and Kayla Michael. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, on this glorious day, fill your people with a holy joy at the resurrection of your Son, that we would tremble no longer before the grave, but rejoice and live in the truth of your power to save. Lord, in your mercy, be with Matt Harrison, our Synod President, Tim Schar, our District President, and all our pastors. Keep them faithful to deliver to your people the apostolic gospel of your Son's death, burial, and resurrection. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Nashville, and TSJ Lutheran School. Bless them as they continue to work through the call process for their senior pastor position. Be with Associate Pastor James Miller as he serves in that role during the interim. We also lift before you the call process here at Trinity Hoyleton for our school administrator position. If it be your will, quickly lead us to the person you have chosen to serve our school. Lord, in your mercy, let us hold fast to the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy, we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all who would sow doubt into our hearts, and grant us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our President Joe Biden and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil, and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Let them serve with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we lift before your throne all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, especially Marvin, Stephanie, Annie, Audra, Alexander, Catherine, Janice, Cruz, Pauline, Emily, Jackson, Randy, Jane, and Jared. Be with them as they enjoy another year in service to you and their neighbors. We also give you thanks and praise today for the birth of Jace Henry Michael. We pray that you would bless him and his parents as we await the day when Jace will be brought to the font of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy, have mercy on the sick and those in any need, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Margaret, Fran, Marvin, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Jim, Richard, Teddy, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Greg, Linda, Francis, Chris, Janelle, Eileen, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Norma, Layla, all those who are fighting cancer, all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy, give us joy in your Son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from this altar. In the eating of his true body and the drinking of his precious blood in faith, overcome our sin by his forgiveness and swallow up our death in his life, that we may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy, comfort those who mourn with the truth of Christ's empty tomb, that in the midst of their grief, they may abide in the hope of his resurrection. Uphold them in faith as they await the day when you will wipe every tear from all faces. Lord, in your mercy. We join today in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Just as a reminder, we will not be collecting our offerings here in the sanctuary, but if you brought an offering with you today for Easter, you can place that in the narthex. There's a basket back there, so you can place it there on your way out of the sanctuary today. Our offertory hymn is Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won.
Thank you.
Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. 8,500 steps. Not too bad. Good morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. A few announcements for you today. Not too much, but I wanted to let you all know, if you donated one of these lovely Easter lilies that's here behind me, you can pick those up after our service of the sacrament today. Also, those of you who have been participating in women's Bible study, that had been on Thursday evenings throughout the season of Lent, but starting this week, we're moving back to Wednesday nights. So women's Bible study will resume this Wednesday, the 7th at 7 o'clock. And the last announcement I wanted to make was, it's actually not in the bulletin, but I mentioned this last week, that the call committee for school administrator is ready to present candidates to the voters, and that meeting will take place next Sunday, immediately following the worship service. So we hope that our voters will consider coming after church next week to help us discuss that and vote on that. Please let us know if you have any questions. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to invite the ushers to dismiss anyone who is not planning to stay for communion, and I'll invite the elders to come forward and help me set the table, and I'm going to invite our acolytes to relight the candles for the service of the sacrament.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week.
Have a blessed week.